What is the role of satire in a country's political life? Well, that's a question that many Americans have been asking lately, especially after comedian Jimmy Kimmel had his late-night TV show suspended briefly by ABC, a move that was celebrated by President Trump and some on the right. The American debate over free speech and comedy resonates quite loudly in France and Russia, two countries where satirical puppet shows became popular by making fun of the powerful, only to end up off the air. From Paris and Moscow, NPR's Eleanor Beardsley and Charles Maines report. We begin with Eleanor.
In France, in the late 80s, a TV show called Les Guignols de l'Info, or The Puppets of the News, helped shape the national conversation with marionettes. Any French politician or celebrity could be transformed into a larger-than-life latex version of themselves and held up for ridicule. Les Guignols came on just before the nightly news, and their jokes became a measure of the national mood. Yves Le Roland was creative director for Les Guignols for 21 years. He says the big breakthrough came with the first Gulf War in 1990, which France took part in. Les Guignols lampooned generals while poking fun at the video game-like coverage of the conflict.
The fact that we did satire with marionettes made a kind of delay with reality that let us get away with a lot more than if it was a stand-up comedian who says things directly.
Ah oui, qu'est-ce qui m'a mis là maintenant? Alors, 20h30.
A favorite guignol was the hapless President Jacques Chirac. The show portrayed him as an everyman who just wanted a beer and a sausage. Turns out that portrayal may have helped him, says Le Roland.
It was even said that by mocking Chirac so mercilessly, we made him look sympathetic. And in the end, it actually helped get him elected president.
Kukli, or puppets, was Russia's answer to Les Guignols de l'Info. The show launched in the mid-1990s and similarly skewered Russia's political elite, including then-president Boris Yeltsin. Viktor Shendorovich, the show's key writer, says he quickly realized the power of satire.
Laughter as a weapon is powerful because laughter is irrefutable. You can win a case in court, but a court can't force people to stop laughing at you.
The show was a test of new freedoms in a country where mocking Soviet rulers was done in private. And in fact, Kukli faced pressure from Russian authorities, with one powerful exception.
To whoever complained about Kukli, Yeltsin would say, "If I could put up with it, you can too."
In 1999, an aging Yeltsin resigned, handing power to his then relatively unknown Prime Minister, Vladimir Putin. By now, he too had a puppet. Shendorovich satirized Putin's sudden rise to power, borrowing from an old German fairy tale. He cast Putin in the role of a dwarf, mistaken through magic as a handsome prince. Until the spell wore off. The fallout was almost immediate.
Putin took it as a personal insult on his physical stature that he was a dwarf. But for me, it was just a metaphor. Not least because I am not tall. I am even shorter than Putin.
The state soon launched criminal investigations and demanded changes at Kukli's network, an independent commercial channel called NTV. Among them, Putin's puppet and NTV's critical news coverage should disappear for good.
In France, the shutdown was slower and more subtle. Enter Vincent Bolloré, right-wing billionaire, industrialist, and friend of then-President Nicolas Sarkozy, who was a favorite in Guignol's skits.
Sarkozy, président, Sarkozy, président.
Here, Sarkozy trades his Rolex for a swatch to shed his bling-bling image, but when it comes to removing his expensive elevator shoes...
Non, finalement, les chaussures, je les garde.
The famously short president changes his mind. Bruno Gaccio was another longtime producer for Les Guignols. He says Bolloré hated the parodies of Sarkozy.
Bolloré tried to stop the Guignols from President Sarkozy in 2007. He felt it's impossible for him.
It became possible when he bought the channel hosting Les Guignols, Canal+. When Bolloré moved the show from primetime to just before midnight, ratings collapsed, says Gaccio.
It's easy to cancel a show. It's very easy. The only thing needs a billionaire is time and money.
The show eventually folded. Bolloré denied any censorship. He continues to buy newspapers, radio, and TV networks across France.
Добрый вечер.
Watching old clips of NTV on YouTube feels like a window on another country, a more pluralistic Russia that no longer exists. A quarter century later, Shenerovich says the status of satire and satirist is a direct commentary on the political makeup of a country. The show dragged on for another year or so, but with neutered political content, no Putin puppet, and no Shenderovich, ratings sagged. By then, NTV had been taken over by Gazprom, Russia's state energy giant. It was the beginning of the end of an era of free speech in Russia.
It was never just about the fate of Kukli. After the show's end, the genre of satire disappeared. Under Putin, it became impossible to make fun of the head of state.
Or, it turns out, his policies.
Ivan Urgant is Russia's most popular and only late-night talk show host.
In the wake of the war in Ukraine, new censorship laws banned even the mildest criticism of the Russian invasion, including by Ivan Urgant, heard here with American late-night host Stephen Colbert in Moscow in 2017.
So we're more close to Fallon than to John Oliver.
Does Putin watch your show?
The answer, apparently yes. 5 years later, Urgant's show was canceled after the host made an appeal for peace. Shenderovich, who now lives in exile, says that's no surprise.
The years of relative freedom weren't long enough to become the norm.
Unlike Russia, the West has a tradition of mocking its rulers, adds Shenderovich. Even now, he still believes that's true.
That was NPR's Charles Maynes reporting from Moscow, with NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reporting from Paris. Mm-hmm.